It is the John Murphy Show. John Murphy and Donald Jones, and joined in studio now by our regular Friday visitor, the harbinger of the end of the week for us, Lorenzo Alexander, with the lowdown. Good to have you here.
What's going on?
How are you?
I mean, he kind of yawned, you know, as you were introducing me. Well, and, I mean, he's kind of down a little bit today. Are you okay?
I'm tired.
I know. Your family's in town, though. I saw you walking around, I think, yesterday with So is that a little bit different, you know, hanging out with the kids in the morning?
To be honest with you, I was up last night just listening to music. I couldn't sleep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Everybody else was knocked out.
I hear you, brother.
Did you engage with the family at all?
They were all asleep.
Yeah, I'm just checking in, you know. I know sometimes I can be a little twist, you know, when you interject, you know, your wife and kids in. Nah. You just
throw off your schedule a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just being real. I'm worried about you. You know, I'm your friend.
Don't be worried. It's
okay.
All good.
You just look a little down, huffing and puffing. I like that hat, though. Can I have it?
No.
You can buy it.
Right.
Just the next couple of days here
until
Sunday.
I just want to know if you hooked me up. I mean, you got – I know you didn't buy it.
I'm just saying, because you know why? Because they made me – I had to promote it a little bit. Yeah,
Should have had Murph promote it.
He did a heck of a job promoting it.
They couldn't find one to fit him.
Oh, wow. Are you throwing shots at you? I thought you was off limits in this.
I got it.
Man.
I got a big coconut that doesn't work.
Nah, it's all good.
No, I am off limits, by the way, just to make sure.
Yeah.
All right. Never. Practice outdoors in the stadium. It was 22 degrees out. A little breezy in there.
Yeah, it's more than a little breezy. I mean, I'm a California boy, so, I mean, I think the wind chill factor was like 6 to 8 degrees. So, it's cold outside. We live in it, so you're kind of used to it, but it's nothing like going out there and standing. I think it's often harder to practice in it just because, you know, the defense is up, then the offense is up. And while the offense is up, we're standing on the sideline. Or if your special teams is going and you're not participating, you're standing on the sideline. Versus a game, you know, you're kind of locked in. You got the heated benches. So when you come off the field, you can warm up. And then when you're out on the field, you know, you kind of – you're uber locked in, focused, and ready to go in the cold. Really doesn't bother you as much.
I remember we used to go out there and like later in the season. And by this time, we weren't even in the playoff race.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, man.
Yeah,
it was like, don't throw me the ball in practice.
Yeah.
That mug feels like a brick.
It's hard.
Don't throw it. I just wait to the game.
Well, as you said, you're a West Coast guy and you played on some West Coast teams. So when you come to a cold climate and play in 45-degree temperatures this Sunday, how much of an impact is that? I mean, what do you expect the Saints?
Well, 45 is not that cold. For me, like I said before, and the initial cycle, man, it's cold out here. But once you get into the game and the flow of things and you're playing and you warm up and, you know, you're doing your thing, for me, it never really affected me. But you can see some teams that it did affect. I think even, you know, talking to Lee Smith when he was here, he could tell that some of his teammates were kind of affected. And it really wasn't even that cold or that wet.
Yeah.
But coming from California, that shock sometimes can get you, you know, versus us that we have to wake up in it, take our kids in it, walk around in it if you want to get around. So you kind of acclimate to it a little bit over time. But when it's cold, it's cold. You just have to go out there and focus in and play fast.
You know, I regret I didn't get a chance to say hi to Lee Smith when the Raiders were in here, but I've seen – I probably watched 3 or 4 Raiders games this year. You play with him. I think every Raiders game I've seen, he picks up a personal foul this year.
He's just ultra aggressive. That's how he plays. I mean, I've warned guys before. I mean, he even got Reggie Ragland in one. I was like, my gosh. Him and KO, that's how they play. KO got me a little bit. But you, those guys, you have to watch because they play through the whistle.
Yeah. And it's funny to watch Del Rio's. He has like an interesting dialogue with Lee Smith. Like, we've talked about this, and Lee Smith comes over and shrugs, and it's just kind of funny to watch.
It was like that here when he came out. It was like, dude, calm down. What is your deal? Hey, what'd you think of all of the fights? Is it like a certain point of the season where everybody's kind of
I don't know. All that stuff was
kind
of
like
I don't mean some of that stuff was just crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know what guys are thinking. What's going on? I wish I could
throw
point to that. Yeah, hitting people in the helmets. And I don't know, some of that had to be some like history. Like I seen you in the off season, you know, in the street somewhere, and you gave me one reason, and now I'm gonna go get you. So I mean, because half that stuff, you know, you poked him in the head, pushed him, and you come around. I mean, it was just crazy.
Yeah.
You're talking a little trash, and you push me late. All right, I mean, it's not nothing to go that serious, but I don't know what was said either.
The whole throwing punches thing in football
with the helmets on.
Yeah,
you got to rip the helmet off. It's an art to doing it the right way. I've seen some guys do it the right way. You know, you can throw a punch. You got to get up underneath the face mask though, and get up in there a little bit. So, but I don't condone any of that that violence on the field.
Disclaimer.
Yes.
I feel like I'm doing a hockey show all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Right? With Andrew Peters, you guys talking about fights? Really? does the league handle it correctly? Do those fines and even a suspension do anything to deter?
Yeah, you? I mean, that definitely deters you. Obviously, you're hitting your pockets, which nobody likes to, you know, money taken from you. You have no control over where it goes or what foundation it goes to. And then number two, when you're suspended for a week, you feel like you let your team down.
Yeah.
Now you're not out there, especially you. I mean, you have A.J. Green, Mike Evans that are two premier players in this league and is going to give your team a chance to win.
Yeah.
So as those players, I know they probably, you know, was heartfelt about just not being out there for those guys.
You know, Jalen Ramsey in his young career is known as one of, like, the biggest trash talkers or best trash talkers in the league. For me, it was Antonio Cromartie. Dude just never stopped.
And yeah.
For you, who is it that just always is gnawing at you all the time? Like, shut up.
I mean, most cats don't gnaw at me. You know, I mean, most guys respect you and don't really say nothing. Like, a lot of guys don't talk trash like Larry Fitzgerald. You know, mm-hmm. There's certain guys you just don't talk trash to. But the most trash talk I've ever seen was Steve Smith.
No,
like,
yeah,
once you got on him, and then he would just go off the charts. It was never directed at me because I obviously wasn't a corner, but mm-hmm. when he gets going, there are no lines. He gets personal, in your face, aggressive, dog you out, you know, catching 200 yards on you, and talking about your mama. So, I mean, so him, and it worked for him. He was probably one of the best I've seen do it.
You mentioned Larry Fitzgerald. I brought this up earlier on the show, and I know you played there and you've been around mm-hmm. several stops in the league, but I feel sad watching Arizona Cardinals. I don't know if you saw last night's game, but you can see that the whole thing is...
Yeah, just because you saw where they were going,
yeah.
and, you know, especially over the last couple of years, you know, they had such great promise of with Bruce Arians getting there, you know, becoming a playoff team, then having a Super Bowl kind of attached to your name, having those chances, and then Carson gets hurt a couple of those years, and obviously Larry is probably one of the best to ever play that position. And for him to kind of go out, you know, the season's not over, but to go out lackluster like he has after having those last two or three seasons, as far as team-wise, I mean, it is hard to watch it for him.
That's a good place, isn't it? I mean, a good culture out there.
It's a great culture. You know, I was there for two and a half years, and what they really started to establish was great, kind of like what we're trying to do here in our infancy.
All right, Lorenzo Alexander is here for the lowdown as he takes a look at this matchup, the Bills and the New Orleans Saints. So let's dive into the lowdown. And the first thing, obviously, you're playing defense against what, the second-ranked offense in the National Football League.
Right.
And there's something about the Saints' pace that you think could give teams trouble, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely climbing up the rankings. I think the first 2 weeks kind of set them back, and they've just been climbing back up. But with Sean Payton and Drew Brees being together for so long, their first 15 is ridiculous in the sense that they come out with many different personnel groups, same formation, but just running people on and off, doing a lot of motions and shifts. And as a defense, sometimes you can get caught up in all that and adjusting, people running over, you know, changing strengths. And you play soft because they get you worrying about the shifts and motions instead of
so you're back
what
on
the
your
play
heels
is.
A little bit.
So, yeah, just a little bit because you're moving around. You're not set. It's easier to run, come downhill when my feet are set. I see the formation you're in. Mm-hmm. So they get you worried about all the shifts and formations and kind of cloud the picture when a lot of the formations are the same. But they do all the shifts in motion and they end in the same set where if they just stood there, you can say, oh, I'm downhill. This is belly kick or this is a TRC, which is a deep over, because you can see it. But when you're moving around, you don't really have time to kind of locate, okay, oh, this guy's at number two, and gives you those indicators where you can play fast as a defense and downhill aggressive.
You know, we talk about, and I talk about because I played offense, how important the first 15, 20 plays are as they're scripted for most teams.
Yep.
How important is that for you for a defense, you know, to get a beat on what it is that they're trying to do?
Well, the biggest thing for us, I think, during the first 15 is making them one-dimensional. Knocking their game plan off where now when the coordinator's over, it's like, well, I thought this was going to work. I'm not quite sure. So getting them to start second-guessing what their plan was. So, you know, we're going to react. I know, like, Andy Reid, every time we used to play him when I was in Washington, he used to have you running all over the field, all these screens and stuff. You know, Sean Payton has certain tendencies as well. But if you go in there and execute, they really want to run the ball on us. And that's kind of counterproductive, what you think, especially with Drew Brees. But with Kamara and Ingram, the way they've been playing. So trying to get them the ball, whether it's screens or running on the running game, if we can go and snuff that out and make them one-dimensional, then we can be fine. Then they'll kind of slow down their pace, you know, kind of get in a regular rhythm, and then we can kind of pin our ears back a little bit and play fast and downhill.
Lorenzo, one of the things that I've thought in recent years is totally underrated, and people don't even give it as much credit as they should, and that's They have a coach, a head coach, a coordinator, and a quarterback who've been together for a long time, and they probably speak in shorthand. They probably see the same things, communicate the same way. That's tough to beat, right, when you get at least two guys, a coach and a quarterback, or even a coordinator in this sense, who, you know, they know where they're going. They know what they want to do.
Of course. I mean, the quarterback is an extension of the head coach who's the coordinator in this sense. And if they can see the same things and understand they can talk well and communicate well, you know, Drew can go out there and dial things up without even necessarily going to talk to Sean, because they're on, of one mind, essentially, and can make great adjustments in the continuity there. So when you have guys coming in and out, whether it's injured players or not, Drew can talk to them, Sean, and other guys can help out because it's been one system for so long.
Yeah.
So it's not a big learning curve. Guys can just jump in and they don't miss a beat because of that history together.
It's like being married, you know, or like Donald and I, you know, we finish each other's sentences.
Yes.
Somewhat.
Somewhat, his guy. you talk about handle the Saints' tempo, are they switching tempo up a lot during the course of a game? Like, no huddle, fast.
Yeah, they're not really fast, no huddle. They just – they break the huddle so fast, they get lined up, and then they may even snap the ball quick count. They have a lot of quick count or what we call attack plays where they just run out. They don't even look like they're really set, and they just snap it. Nothing said. Mm-hmm. Or they come out really fast, do some shifts, some motions, and then snap the ball. And that's even quicker the first 15, because I think Sean really does a great job of just, okay, this is my plan. I'm going to stick with it. So he just rattling off 1 through 15. Then it slows down once you get through 1-15. After you get through the first 15. Mm-hmm. But their pace is just so quick. They break the huddle really fast, and we just have to make sure that we're set and have good eyes and handle all that shifts and motions, like I said, and then you'll be fine.
The elements of how the Bills can win this, the lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander. He says control the Saints, handle the Saints' tempo. Number two, you put the onus on the Buffalo offense to help you guys on defense out a little bit, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is kind of twofold. Obviously, with a great offense, the best way of defeating them is not allowing them to be on the field. So mm-hmm. if our offense can control the clock, move the ball, mainly with our run game, run some time off the clock, obviously getting Shady going, and that opens things up for Tyrod and Kelvin in the passing game. It's always going to be huge. And also, when you're controlling the clock, you're staying ahead of the sticks. We're not creating negative plays that we've seen earlier on, you know, starting a series first and 15 or second and 15. I mean, you're behind the sticks. It's kind of hard to ever really get in a true rhythm. Mm. So if those guys are able to do that and consistently do that, not only do we help ourselves from an offensive standpoint and putting ourselves in advantageous third downs because they have sacked the quarterback a lot as well, it helps our defense as far as staying fresh, keeping Drew and them boys on the sideline, and limiting their opportunities for those explosion and exciting plays that they've been known for, accustomed to, especially these last six games.
You've had about a week's worth of practice with Calvin Benjamin. How does he look in practice? What do you think of him?
He looks good. I like him. Obviously, I haven't got a really good chance to know him, but he's out there working hard, fitting in. He's really, I think, melded into our culture and excelling. Obviously, we want to see what he does on Sunday, but I have no doubts that with his skill set and the coaching and the ability for him to get down the field and catch the ball, he's going to make an impact anytime he's on the field.
You faced him earlier this year. Going into that game, what was your thought process? You're not a corner, not a DB.
Right, I don't have to deal with that, man. 6'7", 250, you know, whatever, can run, can jump, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's one of the best younger receivers in the league because of his skill set. And he has all the skills and talents available to him to be great. Obviously, they had a lot of receivers. Now he's here. He's our number one guy. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a little bit different of role. So I'm excited to see how they integrate him into the system and how effective he is. But I have no doubt that he's going to be stellar on Sunday. But a guy like that, I mean, it's not too much you can do to stop him because he's 6'7". You can double him, throw the ball up. Really, for us, I think it was Jordan who had a good hit on him early in the game, and that might have took him out. You know, anytime you're physical with a receiver, because they are receivers at the end of the day.
Chill out. Chill out.
I see where you're going.
You know, I'm just saying, at the end of the day, you are receiving on how big. I mean, it just is what it is. You play offense for a reason.
All right.
You know, so that's the only way I can see that you ever take a great receiver like that out of their game is if you're physical mm-hmm. with them consistently through four quarters.
You're just gonna let that sit there.
I gotta let it go. He's right.
That's the only thing I can see.
If you're physical at the line of scrimmage, if you're physical and you hit them all the time, it's just like quarterbacks. You know, you hit those dudes all the time. They're like, I'm tired of getting hit.
All right. The lowdown, part three from Lorenzo Alexander. And this goes back to you guys on the defensive side of the ball and really kind of a failing of the Jets game for me.
Yeah, just showing up our tackling. And going back and watching the film, it wasn't as bad as it felt on the sideline, we just missed, you know, and you missed three or four tackles. That turns into some big plays, and it just, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And that's just really what it came down to. So just having some great fits, and once we get there, wrap up, and making sure the first guy is wrapping up and not trying to strip the ball. We had one or a couple of guys trying to get the ball up, but nobody else was there to secure the tackle, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what we have to we're so ingrained in ourselves sometimes with stripping the ball that – when you're the first guy there, though, you have to realize, let me secure it and then let my teammates come in and try to strip the ball. And that happened a couple of times, but we just need to make sure we're in great position, great fits, and bringing our arms and our feet and wrapping up and securing it and then rallying to the ball. I felt that was kind of where somewhere we kind of lacked, too. Normally, a guy misses, at least have the stack and the what we call sharks chasing it down and getting the guy down.
You know, Murph and I were talking about this whole Thursday night football thing. And once you get to this point in the season, everybody has injuries, everybody's sore. You know, playing on Thursday night is tough to do. Mm-hmm. Your body still hasn't really recovered. Does that go into tackling? It's a physical. Now, I understand. I know what you're going to say.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, because they tackled well, we didn't. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's hard to pinpoint why we played the way we did the Thursday game because the week was so short. It's not like we had a normal week of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday where I could come back and say, well, we didn't fit that well in practice, or we didn't have the energy in practice all week, or we were not focused in practice all week. It was such a short week, and you go out there and play and lay an egg.
Right.
I mean, it happens. I mean, if you look at the Patriots the first couple of games this year, it's like, what is up with them? Mm-hmm. I mean, but they recovered and became more consistent. So I look at it as a blip on the radar, not an indicator of who we are. We just had a bad game defensively as far as tackling, and we look forward to bouncing back, not bringing that baggage with us because we know we're good, we know we're capable. Just have to go out there. I mean, the biggest thing that I didn't like, and I was part of this, that nobody stood up just to make the play. If we had one guy go out there and make a big hit or big tackle or the interception or something like that, I think we would have dug ourselves out of that that kind of that rut that we were in on that game last week.
Lorenzo, thanks for this. We always look forward to your visit here on Fridays.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure, man.
Provide some clarity.
I need that hat, though, too.
We'll get you
somebody
a hat.
Get me a hat, man. I don't know who it is. Who I need to talk to?
I couldn't tell you who to talk to. You know,
You just showed up.
Yeah, it just appears like we need you to wear this hat and talk about it.
You could give it up, though.
Yeah, I don't understand. I like hats. I wear hats. You see me, my head.
You might be a little
cold. I appreciate it, man. Now I can go wear it today, and then people can. Excellent. And then a little loose. Your dome a little bigger than mine.
A little loose on mine, don't worry about the dome.
Excellent. Maybe this is the start of a better relationship.
Yeah, maybe. I know he was waiting to see if it was going to fit my head, so I'm glad it was a little loose.
Lorenzo Alexander with the Lowdown every Friday.